How many of you had young people in the band? Anybody in here have children in the high school band? How many of you were ever in the high school band? How many of you were ever out of step in the high school band? Well, believe it or not, I had two daughters that were in the high school band. And there were times when I would watch them out on that football field, and they were the only ones who were in step. How many of you have ever been out of step? We have in life with a lot of things. I want to talk to you tonight about a man who got out of step. His name was King Solomon. In ancient history, you remember, and it is ancient in the sense that it happened many, many years ago, when Israel determined that they wanted to be like everybody else. That they wanted a king. They were dissatisfied with the concept of being ruled by judges, Samuel being the last judge of Israel. And so because they clamored for a king and they wanted to be like everybody else, and certainly we see that in today's world, everybody wants to be like everybody else. Everybody wants to be able to identify with what everybody else is doing, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Well, in the Old Testament, when Israel determined that they no longer wanted to be ruled by judges, and there were many great judges in the Old Testament, then the Bible says that Samuel went before God. And when he got into the presence of God, he began to ask God to forgive Israel because they had determined that they wanted a king. They wanted a monarch. Now, can you imagine anyone wanting to be ruled by a king or ruled by a monarchy? But that's exactly what happened. Instead of being ruled by judges, give us a king. And Samuel was disturbed about it, and so he goes into the presence of God, feeling dejected, and not only dejected, but rejected, because he knew that he was anointed of God. And the Bible says that God says, Samuel, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me that I should reign over them. Now that was true because in reality the judges were only implementing the things of God. They were not making calculations or determinations or judgment beyond the will of God. And so when they ruled in favor of God. When they made a judgment call, then that judgment call was based upon truth. It was not made upon human logic or what the outcry of the people might have been. But in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and all the way through the 30th chapter, you'll find that a number of things happen. You will learn that when a person deliberately chooses to rebel against the Lord, they will meet the consequences of their rebellion. You know, you and I live in a rebellious age today. We have people that rebel against authority. People rebel against the law. People don't like the law. There's some dimensions of the law that I don't like. I don't like the seatbelt law. Some people do. Some people don't like the new speed limit law between Austin and San Antonio. They've raised the speed limit to 85 miles an hour. Some of you act like you're real pleased with that. But anyway, there are a number of laws that we don't necessarily like, but we feel that we have to submit ourselves to them because the book of Romans chapter 13 says to do so. That we are to submit to the higher powers, for there is no power that is ordained except it be of Almighty God. Saul was one who was that first king of Israel. He was anointed to serve. And everything went well for a period of time. The narrative of his life actually is a clear warning to you and to me. And that's why I'm preaching this lesson tonight. God requires complete obedience. Wise believers will learn to avoid the four spiritual mistakes that King Saul made. He probably made many, many others. But there are four specific times when he got out of step. What were they? You know, what causes people to get out of step with God? It's one thing to be out of step out on the football field or perhaps maybe somewhere else. But it's another thing to be out of step with God. And there are four major mistakes that Saul made. The first being his pride. You see, he was like the man that Paul wrote about in the book of Romans 12 when he said that a man's not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. It's not wrong to think highly of yourself, but when you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, it is wrong. And Saul began to elevate himself. He began to think himself to be something when in reality he was nothing. And I said that pride was one of the big mistakes, and the reason for it, because if you were to read in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 3 and 4, and I'll read that for you tonight just in case you didn't bring your Bible, but if you did, you can read along with us. But in this particular case, Jonathan, and now Jonathan was the son of King Saul, you remember. And Jonathan, being that good son that he was, always tried to honor his father. He recognized the authority of his father, not only as a father, but as the king also of Israel. And Jonathan defeated a Philistine garrison of about 1,000 people. But instead of giving Jonathan the glory for what he had done, Saul begins to claim victory for himself. And he actually tried to steal the credit from his own son. And the Bible says, and Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard Saul say that he had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also had an abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. Now later the king, not only in his pride and in his exaltation, I guess you could say, performed a sacrifice without waiting for Israel's prophet Samuel. Saul didn't have the right to offer this sacrifice. But his impatience cost his descendants the throne of God. You know, generally, kings are in succession one of another. Family members are. We know that when the Queen of England will die, that Prince Charles will become the king. Now, that may be a good thought. It may be a scary one for you. I don't know. But generally, they follow in succession. And because of Saul's disregard for the law of God and his rebellious attitude and his heart being filled with pride, it cost his descendants the throne. And God revealed unto Saul that he would be replaced with another king who would love the Lord wholeheartedly. 1 Samuel 13, verse 4 through 14. Now, we know that did come to pass because Samuel anointed another young sweet singer of Israel named David to be that king. Saul continued to exalt himself. When we allow conceit into our lives, we lose the favor of God. I don't care who you are. You know what? Pride is distasteful to us. You get around people a lot of times that are always talking about what they did and how they did it, and they start talking about themselves and trying to elevate themselves and toot their own horn. And someone said, if you don't toot your own horn, it will not get tooted. Well, you know, it's best not to toot your own horn anyway. Well, anyway, Saul was doing this, and that's exactly what he was doing over this defeat of the Philistines at Geba. Instead of giving credit to his own son. In the book of Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2, the scripture says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly, there is wisdom." Pride drives a wedge into relationships. And it damages friendships. You know, if you've ever really been around people that are filled with pride and they act so proud of who they are, I'm going to tell you something. Doesn't it draw a wedge between you and them? It does. It does me. I don't like to be around people that are always elevating themselves and talking about how wonderful they are and giving themselves a pat on the back all the time. But the person who humbles himself is the person who's going to be honored. For the book of Proverbs 29 and verse 23 says also that a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold in the life of the humble in spirit. A man's pride will bring him low. Saul disobeyed God because of his pride. But then there was another mistake that he made, and another area where he got out of step with God. And that is his deliberate and willful sin. There was a wicked ruler one time named Amalek. And if you read in the Bible about Amalek, Amalek was a wicked and ruthless man. God was concerned about the Amalekites for fear of what they might do. And he sent King Saul down and his army to destroy the Amalekites. Now, you know, sometimes we get real concerned about the nature of God. Why would God want Saul to kill all these babies? But he not only was to destroy every living creature of the Amalekites, he was to destroy their animals and their herds and totally ravish everything that they had, obliterated. And sometimes we look at that and we say, well, my goodness, I can't believe God would be so exacting. But the good Lord was, and there was reason for it. But like most people, we begin to rely upon our own logic. You know, there are just some things about the law of God you may not like, and you think you may know how to handle that situation a little bit better than the good Lord in heaven. And the Bible tells us that Saul disobeyed the Lord by not destroying the Amalekites completely. And as a result, he lost his right to rule over Israel. He did. He spared the king, Agag. And the Bible tells us that he brought back the best of the flock and of the herds. He spared them. And he, in his mind, being well-intentioned as he was, thought that I'll bring this king back and people will glorify me and they will honor me. And I will save these animals over here and we'll offer these animals for sacrifice. And in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23, Samuel offers these words to the one he anointed king over God's people. For rebellion, he says in verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now think about it. God compares one who rebels against his law, just like Saul did, to that of witchcraft. He said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. It's just as bad. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, God says, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, probably Saul in his mind fashioned and reasoned this way. Well, now God's going to be pleased with what I did. I'm going to bring everybody together and I'm going to show them the king that I captured, and I'm going to show them all these animals that we're going to offer up as sacrifice before God for God giving us the victory. But God said, you destroy them. It's easy for us to rationalize obeying in part. But partial obedience is simply disobedience. Only when we follow God's plan fully can He bless us with His best. Now that's true in every sense. When we think about the plan of salvation today, a lot of people here again rationalize in their mind, God, we know we have to believe in Jesus to get into heaven. And we know that we have to turn from our wicked ways. That was the law even of the Old Testament and certainly the New Testament as well. And we are to acknowledge Christ as Savior and Lord, and that ought to be sufficient. And that's what the majority of the world is saying. And many today in the body of Christ are clamoring for the same thing because that's what the world is teaching. And many do not believe that one has to be immersed or baptized in order to go to heaven. And so they begin to compromise the will of God. But only when we follow God in complete obedience does God bless us. There is no reason to rejoice when we only offer up a worship unto God that is mechanical and not something that comes from the heart. For Jesus said in Matthew 15, they praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Nor can we expect God to forgive us of our sins short of complete and full obedience to the will of God. That includes baptism for the remission of sins. But Saul made another mistake. Saul was like man today. Sometimes when things are going well, people get jealous. David won the hearts of the people. He was really kind of like Esau and kind of like David's son, Absalom, who stole the hearts of the people. David's success eventually made Saul extremely jealous. You know what? There's no room for jealousy in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you what, I have learned through the years that there's always someone better than you are. There's always a better Bible class teacher than you, than me. There's always a better song leader than me, none better than Dwight. There is always someone who can lead a better prayer. There is always someone who is much, much better at reaching the lost with the gospel of Christ. There is always someone who is more qualified to be president of the United States than the two that are running. There's always better preachers. I just don't know who they are. The best sermon has never yet been preached. That gives you hope. The king sought, because of his jealousy, to kill David. David was very popular with Israel. He was just a young shepherd boy. And of all of those you would choose perhaps to reign over the people of God, David probably would not be your man in natural aspects. Just a young shepherd boy. The least, the Bible says, in the house of Jesse, his father. But God chose him. You know, that's the reason it's so important for us when we think about leaders nationally to choose someone that would meet with the approval of God to the best of our ability, whoever it is. David had captured the hearts of the people, 1 Samuel 24. He had spared the life of Saul himself when Saul was constantly trying to kill him and get him out of the way. And there became that bond between Saul's son, Jonathan, that we talked about early in the lesson tonight. Jonathan and David were extremely good friends. There was a bond, there was a love there for one another. And Jonathan's father was constantly trying to take him out of the way to get rid of him. Do you know that jealousy is like a corrosive acid to the heart and to the mind? It quietly eats away at a person's spiritual fiber from the inside and can lead us to making unwise decisions. And that's exactly what Saul did because of his jealousy. He was out of step with God because of his pride and his willful rejection and rebellion against God, and because of his jealousy. But then one last thing that serves to remind us that he was out of step with God, and that is he sought unwise counsel. You know, we always tell our young people, and we tell everybody actually, you know, you got a spiritual problem you need to deal with, seek wise counsel. Don't go to someone who's just going to tell you what you want to hear, but go to someone who will tell you the truth. Most of us gravitate to people who will side with us and who will tell us what we want to hear. They're kind of like those in the Old Testament who cried out to the prophet, "Preach unto us smooth things. Tickle our ears." And Saul, instead of seeking the wisdom of those who were favored by God, sought unwise counsel. Factually speaking, Saul sought guidance from a medium, if you will, a fortune teller, so to say, because the Lord no longer directed his life through the priests. The priests were constantly telling Saul the will of God. And because God rejected Saul, now the priests are no longer explaining and telling Saul what God wants him to do. And although the king's action violated God's law, the Lord allowed him to see a manifestation of Samuel, who had died. He went to this medium and actually called up Samuel from the grave. But he sought unwise counsel by going to the medium, or to the one who could tell his fortune, or perhaps what he wanted to hear. And when he called up Samuel, this is the first time we ever have a record of this in the Old Testament or the New Testament, but he spoke to Saul through this prophet. And Samuel told the king, and I want you to listen to this, Samuel did not tell Saul what he wanted to hear, but what he needed to hear. And Samuel told the king that because he didn't fully obey the Lord while battling the Amalekites, God had allowed the Philistines to attack him. Now listen to this. Samuel predicted that the king would soon die a horrible death on his own sword. He sought unwise counsel. Sometimes we innocently jest about others telling us our fortune or reading our palm. But Christians are admonished to avoid all forms of the occult, including fortune tellers. Some people read the horoscope, they do it in jest, but some people, and I'm afraid to say some Christians, live by the horoscope. We're to avoid all New Age practices. Well, what should we do? First, we should ask God to speak to our hearts and guide the decisions that we make. And secondly, we should seek advice only from godly men and women who can counsel us with the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit and God's eternal Word. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, not someone else. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and chideth not those who get into his presence. And last of all tonight, when Saul chose to obey only part of God's instructions, He brought serious consequences not only on himself, but on his household as well. And ultimately, his jealousy and his willful disobedience destroyed him. That's why we should strive to avoid rationalizing or excusing our sin before God. We must be vigilant to anything from disrupting our fellowship with God. And if we consistently seek and obey the Lord, then we can walk faithfully with Him for a lifetime and an eternity. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you out of step? Now, it may not be in one of these areas, but as you view your life realistically, and Saul was privileged to be able to do that, are you out of step with God? Are there some things tonight that you know in your heart are not consistent with the teaching of this word? You could be in rebellion to God. You know what His law is. You know what He says, but you rebel against it. You're like those who say, I know that's what it says, but I don't believe that's what it means. We like for people to tell us what we want to hear, not the truth. It could be that you're filled with pride tonight. Pride keeps people from coming to acknowledge their sin. Sometimes we're so filled with jealousy over someone else, their talent, their energy, their money, their relationships. Sometimes we seek unwise counsel. And we're not really ready to hear truth, because truth sometimes hurts. And Paul said in Galatians 4:16, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Jesus taught truth. And He mandates that we do the same. And when we seek counsel from anyone other than God, we're searching in the wrong place. And it will eventually lead to our spiritual death. So tonight, as you look into your heart of hearts, as you make an evaluation of your own life, and that's who we ask you to make an evaluation of, not someone else that you may think is guilty in one of these areas, but that you look at your own heart. That's what God tried to get Saul to do, was look at his own heart. The Bible says that we're to search our hearts, and we are. And if we, through that search, realize that something is amiss or something is wrong in our life. As I mentioned this morning, the clock is ticking. We're winding down to eternity. And one of these days, your old life will wind down and your heart will beat for the last time and the clock will tick for the last time for you. And when it's all said and done, will we meet with the divine approval of the Almighty? If you're not a Christian tonight, it is imperative that you get right with God. It's imperative that you become obedient to Christ through baptism. And even though the world tonight is teaching it's not necessary, hey, you can formulate your own plan of salvation. I choose to follow God's, and I hope you will too, while we stand and while we sing.